really appreciate everybody being here. Welcome to the first steering committee for the City of Shafter AB 617 process. My name is Samir Sheikh, and I'm the Executive Director and Air Pollution Control Officer with the San Joaquin Valley Air District. I wanted to welcome all of you to what's going to be a very exciting opportunity, first-of-its-kind program that we're launching right here in the City of Shafter, as we've talked about before, learning in this process, working together to hopefully make a difference in this community, bring a lot of resources and a lot of ideas into improving the air quality right here in this community. And I'm so excited to be here. Again, I want to thank all of you who are not only here tonight, who've committed in the steering committee process to taking evenings out of your busy schedules like we are tonight, and just taking the time and the energy to be a part of this process. Bienvenidos. Tenemos interpretación aquí al lado y tenemos los papeles también en español. Si alguien necesita ayuda, tenemos la ayuda aquí. Con esta señora, ¿cómo se llama? Lilian, aquí. Okay, muchas gracias. So I'm going to turn it over to Dave Warner here in just a second because we have a very busy agenda tonight. And I want to make sure that we have time to cover a lot of issues. Again, this is the meeting number one of this process. And what I can assure you, as the Air District here that works locally in the area, who's tasked with developing some very important products and some materials and programs under AB 617, is that we're absolutely committed to making this process work. This steering committee is all about you and the community really putting our heads together, understanding the concerns that are in the community, and then hopefully trying to find opportunities along the way that we can put together in monitoring efforts and then ultimately in emission reduction programs that we can implement in this community and, again, improve the air quality and public health for all that live here in the City of Shafter. So we're very excited about this, and we have a very busy agenda today. I'm going to turn it over to Dave Warner. He's a Deputy Air Pollution Control Officer who's going to get this meeting going. And I'm going to be here listening very carefully throughout this whole meeting. And hopefully, as we move forward with this process, we actually come up with, you know, what I hope to be a very good model that other communities in the state that are now looking at the City of Shafter as a first community in this brand new program in California as a good example for them to follow. So with that, Dave, if you can get the meeting going, really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Good evening, everyone. Oh, that's so nice. I do work for the San Joaquin Valley Air District. I want to add my thanks to all of you for coming tonight. Very happy that you're interested in air quality in your neighborhood, in your community. And I'm going to tell you something right now, that my favorite movie of all time is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Now, that's going to make a lot more sense to you in a few minutes. It's not supposed to make sense yet. So let me tell you a little bit about tonight. As you all know, or I hope you know, AB 617 is really all about changing the way we look at reducing air pollution in your community. The Air District has been reducing emissions in the San Joaquin Valley for about 25 years now, and there were some air districts that existed in the valley before that that worked for about 20 years. But it's been largely a regional effort, trying to reduce emissions all over the valley at the same time. You'll hear more about this tonight, but AB 617 is all about looking for ways to bring resources directly to the community to get emissions reductions in the community. To do that, we're going to start asking for your input. We want to know what it is you think are the issues. What do you think are causing the air quality issues in your community? And then we'll work together to try to identify ways to reduce the pollution that you've identified. So tonight, we're going to have a very short presentation about how AB 617 kind of changes things for us. And then we're going to ask you right away, the Shafter Community Steering Committee, to get together and start identifying air quality concerns and issues in the community as a first step towards finding resolutions to those issues. And then, because sometimes we do need to talk about process, we're going to talk a little bit about how we run this committee going forward over the next several months and maybe a year or two, who knows. Then you'll come up with potential topics for upcoming meetings. And we've got some ideas, but we're going to ask the committee what you'd like to hear about in future meetings. It's a lot of material to cover. Honestly, I'm not sure we're going to be able to cover it all. We're going to give it our best shot. But with that, I'm going to turn it over to a facilitator who's going to kind of guide us through the rest of tonight's festivities. The gentleman's name is Jimmy Yee with Yankee Communications.
Great. Thank you, David. So my name is Jimmy Yee, and I'm president of Yankee Communications. And starting tonight and into 2019, we're going to get to know each other really well. And it's great being in your community. I'm from Bakersfield, and I was recently last week up in Fresno where there was also a steering committee meeting. Just kind of want to go over some housekeeping. The men's and the women's bathrooms are in the back to the left. Please take advantage of translation services. If there is another language that you think needs to be translated, we can have that for future meetings. But just please come to me or one of the staff who I'll be making an introduction here in a minute, and you can let them know.
Yep. I don't think your lapel mic's on.
It is. There you go. Better? Thank you, Cody. Two other housekeeping things. Just want to let you know that this meeting tonight is being recorded, and that's really for the district's edification and for them to basically go back and hear your thoughts and comments. And last but not least, which is really important for those of you who are on laptops and need Wi-Fi, so the username is Shafter Vets Hall, and the passcode in lowercase is Shafter49. So please take advantage of that for those of you who have laptops or want to use your iPhones. Any questions in terms of some of the housekeeping? Great. So there are two other individuals outside the district who are very instrumental in organizing and planning and will be with the committee moving forward that I'd like to introduce. So with Southwest Strategies, they're the team on the ground in Fresno, basically did the same exact thing last week. And it's Cynthia Martinez, she's right there, and Cody Nixon, who is to your right or on this side of the building. And if you have any questions, please go to them or if part of the general public, and if they can't answer your questions, they'll definitely be able to lead you to people that will. So in terms of the general public, for those of you on the back, there is a speaker card and a comment card that you'll have an opportunity at the end of tonight's proceeding to either fill out and present some of your thoughts. But what we ask is if you need a speaker card, please raise your hand, and Cody or Cynthia will get you one. But again, you'll have an opportunity throughout, not only tonight, but in future meetings, to give us your comments and input as well. Okay? Thank you. So moving on, there are two main objectives tonight that we definitely want to accomplish. And as Dave and Shamir said, we've got a packed agenda, and we don't plan on taking any breaks. There's water and some food for those of you who couldn't make dinner. So the first issue and goal is really to identify and prioritize the issues at hand. Okay, that's very, very critical. Your concerns are, and your input, both not only from a steering committee standpoint, but also the general public is very important. And we need to make sure that you have the proper form and that you're allowed to give your input on a timely basis. But again, this is kind of through osmosis, kind of a working model. So tonight there's not a lot in concrete, and you'll have other opportunities. So the other most just as important is what Dave said, is we want to basically start the charter process. And we need to have a guided discussion on the charter of what and where this steering committee and how it's going to move forward. So again, we need to identify issues. We need to prioritize them. And we also, the second part of this is the issue of the charter moving forward. Okay, any questions? Great. So my role as the facilitator is to basically make sure that the communication is on track and that we are basically talking about issues that are relevant for the discussion. Now, for lack of a better term, I'm going to be a referee. Every issue that you bring up is important, but there might be an opportunity where we would be discussing that in 2019 moving forward. So please don't feel like you have to bring up an issue or that you're going to miss an opportunity, because again, we've got all of 2019 moving forward, at least through July, which Dave will be explaining a little bit here in terms of some of the timelines. So it's really important that you folks have that opportunity. As committee members, you're going to have an opportunity to share your thoughts. And as I said, I'm going to be a referee, for lack of a better term. And I just want to make sure that we're just respectful. We know we have a variety of opinions here tonight. You know, I'm basically going to moderate and facilitate to make sure that everyone's input is taken. But again, it's an open forum. And if you do have to speak, you know, I don't have to bestow the act of speech on you. Just raise your hand and we'll make sure that you're heard before the night's over. So in a few moments, a representative from the Air District will be discussing AB 617 in a brief presentation. But first, what we'd like to do is go around the room and introduce the committee members. I just need three things from you. One is your name. Two, if you're a resident or a community at large. And then last but not least, which is what Dave mentioned, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, is we want you to tell us what your favorite movie is, okay? So my name is Jimmy Yee. I'm the facilitator, and my favorite movie is Jaws. So if you want to give me the microphone, and we'll just start out. Or Dave, you know Dave's favorite movie.
Yeah. Well, Ron Voigt. I'm a business owner here in Shafter. Favorite movie is Goodfellas.
Bianca Santoyo, as a community organizer, and favorite movie, Hocus Pocus.
I'm John Gwynn. I'm a resident of the city of Shafter. I also work for the wonderful company, and my favorite movie is The Princess Bride.
My name is Brad Tuck with California Resources Corporation. I operate locally here in the city of Shafter, and favorite movie is King Kong, the original.
Hi, I'm Kathy Prout, and I am a resident or even a community person in Shafter, and my favorite movie is Coco.
I'm Scott Hurlbert. I'm the city manager here in Shafter, also a resident, and I think my favorite movie is Tombstone.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gabriella Gonzalez, and I'm a community member, and my favorite movie is The Color Purple.
Hi, everyone. My name is Abigail Marquez. I'm a Shafter resident, and my favorite movie is Kill Bill.
Hi, my name is Oscar Hernandez. I'm also a resident here, and my favorite movie is Back to the Future.
My name is Edward Zacharias. I'm also a resident here in Shafter, and my favorite movie series is Rocky.
Hi, my name is Philip Jimenez. I'm a resident and also run the Shafter Recreation and Park District, and my favorite movie is Glory Road.
Hi, everyone. My name is Linda Martin. I'm a resident. I also do all the community outreach and education for a refuse company. And my favorite movie is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kendrick Marquez, and I'm a resident, and my favorite movie would be Pulp Fiction.
Hi, I'm Sal Moretti, District Director for Supervisor David Couch, and my favorite movie is Last of the Mohicans.
Michael Dillenbeck, I'm with Kern County Department of Public Works, and my favorite movie is Equilibrium.
My name is Dora Hernandez-Hada. I'm a resident of the Mexican Colony, and my favorite movie is Hope Floats.
My name is Mary Mestiz. I'm a resident of La Colonia, and my favorite movie is La Bamba.
Mi nombre es Felipa Trujillo y soy residente de aquí de Shafter.
y pertenezco al grupo de Para un Shafter Mejor. Y mi película favorita es Lo que el viento se llevó.
My favorite movie is What the Wind Took Away.
Yo soy Socorro Guzmán y
Socorro Guzmán,
residente de aquí de Shafter.
And I am a resident from Shafter here.
Y mi película favorita es Titán. El Titán.
Hi, my name is Maria Marquez, and I'm resident here in Shafter, and I'm working for the community of Better Shafter, and my favorite movie is Notebook.
Hello, my name is Maria Jaime, a Shafter resident as well, and one of my favorite movies is The Lost Boys.
Good evening, my name is Gustavo Guida Jr., and I'm a community at large, and my favorite movie is a series from Johnny Knoxville called Jackass.
My name is David Pizer, I'm a Shafter resident. My favorite movie is Good Will Hunting.
Hi, mi nombre es Antonio López.
Antonio López.
Soy residente aquí en Shafter. Trabajo para Wonderful Orchard.
And I work para aquí.
Wonderful Orchard.
Wonderful Orchard.
Sí. Y estoy miembro de un por Shafter Mejor.
I'm a member of for a Better Shafter.
Y mi película es La Bamba.
And my favorite movie is La Bamba.
My name is Angelica Lopez. I'm a resident here in Shafter, and I guess I'm also a member of the Community for a Better Shafter. And my favorite movie is The Golden Compass.
Tom France. I live 2 miles from here in the Maple Colony, and I'm a farmer. And my favorite movie is, right now, Love Actually.
Thank you all for those introductions, and look forward to working with all of you tonight and into 2019. This time I'd like to introduce Shiraz Gill, who will give a short presentation on AB 617.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and good evening. I'm going to have a seat so that way you can see the presentation. But for those that are wondering, my favorite movie is Forrest Gump. Okay. So what I'm going to be talking about, I have a quick presentation so we can keep this process moving. The facilitator said, we will be talking about these issues in more detail at future meetings, so don't feel like you're going to miss something. There is a lot of information, so I'll be brief in my presentation. What I will be talking about is, what are the goals of AB 617? Is there a clicker by any chance? If not, I can just use this. What are the goals of AB 617, and what are the steering committee goals? So those are the things I'm going to be talking about. But before I do that, let me just tell you some of the challenges that the San Joaquin Valley faces. There's some unique issues that we face here that no other region in California or the nation really faces. First, we're in a valley. And we're surrounded by mountains on three sides. So what that does is it creates an environment where it traps pollution. So on a single day, the pollution that we have in the San Joaquin Valley by itself does not account for a large amount of pollution. If you go to the Bay Area or Los Angeles area, by density they have more pollution, but you have the winds that come in and they clean out the ocean breeze that clean out the pollution. What happens in the San Joaquin Valley is we have multiple days of periods where you have no air movement, multiple days of stagnation, and then a lid forms on the top and basically traps all this pollution. And if you have multiple days of pollution being trapped and being generated, you get this higher, bigger challenge here. We also have high poverty, high unemployment. We have a high rate of population growth, and we continue to we're going to have a significant growth over the next 30 years. You have two main corridors, you have the I-5 and Highway 99, a lot of goods movement through the San Joaquin Valley. They take their goods, sometimes they don't leave them behind, but they leave the pollution behind. So we have summertime, we have an ozone problem, and in the wintertime, we have a fine particulate problem. Okay. So while we have all these serious challenges over the last three decades, the district, the San Joaquin Valley Air District, along with working very closely with multiple stakeholders, have been really successful in reducing air pollution here in the San Joaquin Valley. We have the toughest air regulations anywhere in the nation on businesses, on mobile sources, which cars and trucks, even consumer products, the hairsprays and aerosols. And Valley residents also have tough regulations on them as well. So over the last 30 years, a lot has been done to reduce emissions. Also, we've been able to reduce the health risk from existing and new businesses through our Air Toxics Hotspots program. And over $40 billion has been spent on clean air technology. That's with the big B. So a lot of investment has been made here in the San Joaquin Valley. We also have the most effective and robust grants program. Over $2.1 billion has been spent, both public and private, in clean air projects. And the district's continuing to spend significant resources here in the San Joaquin Valley. Now, air quality over the years since the 1990s has improved significantly, and some parts of the San Joaquin Valley experience better air than other parts of the valley. So, but it has improved significantly, and that's because of the clean air strategies that have been in place. Now, we also recognize that although we have improved, more work needs to be done. We recognize that. And over the last 3 years, if anyone has been involved, I know several people here have been involved in the process, the Air District released a new plan that will continue to get significant emission reductions over the coming years. Okay, that's both on industrial sources, mobile sources, and in residential areas as well. So we recognize that those efforts need to continue. Now, while all of the clean air efforts I've talked about right now have primarily been to reduce emissions on a regional basis throughout the San Joaquin Valley, AB 617 is different. Like Dave mentioned, AB 617 is really established to bring additional resources and investment to valleys impacted and disadvantaged communities to further address community-level air quality issues and to reduce air pollution in those communities. And this is beyond the regional efforts that I talked about. Now, Todd will talk about this in a little bit here, but we've been very successful in demonstrating a big need for our valley in bringing in incentive dollars to the valley, and we've been very successful in doing that, and Todd is going to talk about that in a little bit here in more detail. So when the California Air Resources Board selected Shafter, or we recommended Shafter and the ARB selected Shafter, they highlighted the following things. I'm not going to go into these in detail because you know your community better than anybody else, but there's about 18,000 residents within this community. There's some oil and gas production in the area and primarily surrounded by farmlands. There's more major roadways, including Highway 43 and Laredo Highway, and a rail line running parallel to 43. There's sensitive receptors in the community, includes many schools and licensed daycare facilities, and this community has a high rates of poverty, unemployment, and limited English-speaking households. So this is why Shafter was selected as one of the initial communities. Now, the district does have a long history of understanding this community, monitoring this community, and getting emission reductions from this community. There's about 8 air monitoring stations within and around the community, 1 in Shafter, 5 in the Bakersfield area, 1 in Arvin, and 1 in Edison. So we've done quite a bit of work. But there's two major goals that this steering committee, as an advisory role to the district, will assist the district in implementing. One is to develop and implement an air quality monitoring plan. This will be new air monitoring for the community of Shafter, and to develop a community emission reduction program for Shafter. So this is just kind of a chart of what, a map of what CARB described and the boundaries of Shafter. Many of you have seen this before, and it's in your package, so I won't go into details there. So, like I mentioned before, there's two primary goals. One of the primary goals is to develop a community air monitoring plan for the city of Shafter. Now, the steering committee, like I mentioned before, again, will act as an advisory role to the district to guide our efforts in developing this plan. This plan needs to be in place by July 1st of 2019. In fact, the monitoring needs to be in place by that date. As I mentioned before, quite a bit of work has been done in monitoring, so any new efforts, new monitoring, will supplement our existing monitoring in this area. Any new monitoring that will be conducted will also develop, which is the second main goal, is to develop a community emission reduction program. So any data that is collected as part of this new monitoring and existing monitoring will help develop that emission reduction program. Now, the district has already started to invest significant resources in acquiring and developing various air monitoring platforms, including stationary monitoring, mobile monitoring, and the ability to monitor a wide variety of different pollutants. So we're currently investing in those right now. One of the other primary goals of AB 617, or another goal of AB 617, is all this data that's being collected. What do we do with this information? So the district will be working on implementing or creating a new web page for the city of Shafter, and will display all this air quality information so the city, the residents of Shafter, and the public as a whole will have access to that information. The California Air Resources Board is also required to create a portal, a statewide portal that includes all of the 10 communities that have been identified statewide. So we'll be sending our data to the California Resources Board as well, which will have all the information there. So again, the second main goal is of this committee is to develop a community emission reduction program, work in consultation with the district to do that. So there's a bunch of factors that need to be taken into consideration in developing this. First, really understanding the community, understanding the city of Shafter, understanding the sources of pollution that impact the community. So we'll be talking about what are the inventory of sources in and around the community. Obviously, we talked about the air monitoring. What does the air monitoring say about what is the emissions within this community, and other factors that will help guide in developing this. So once we do that, we'll have to assess what are the resources that are available to us to further reduce emissions from any impacted sources or within this community. Now, one of the major components to think about is that incentives have to play a huge role and will have to play a huge role in getting reductions and advocating for more resources for the city of Shafter. So as I mentioned earlier, the district has already been successful in bringing in significant resources into the San Joaquin Valley and getting early reductions, and Todd's going to talk about that. So the district must adopt a community emission reduction program in Shafter by October 1st of 2019. Okay. Not seems like a lot of time, but it really is not a lot of time to do that. And the plan, there's several things that need to be included in this plan. One is to include specific measures for reducing air pollution. So that's one of the major, that's going to probably take a lot of time of this steering committee, is to put that together, those recommendations together. And also include air pollution reduction goals. What are the goals that we want to achieve in this community? And then, of course, tracking progress, right? How are we going to track progress, right? So those are the main goals of this steering committee as part of AB 617. And I've talked about bringing resources to the community, so I'm going to hand this over to Todd to talk about incentive programs and the...
Thank you, Shiraz. Again, my name is Todd DeYoung. I'm the Grants Program Manager at the San Joaquin Valley Air District, and happy to be here with you this evening. I'm here to just provide a very brief overview of the district's existing incentive programs and really tee up for future discussion how we can use these existing programs, how we can change our existing programs, and how we can develop new programs that will bring even more benefit to the city of Shafter. As Shiraz mentioned, over $2.1 billion has been invested in clean air projects through our incentive grant programs over the years. This is a combination of public and private investment that's resulted in over 144,700 tons of emissions that have been reduced. We're consistently receiving high marks from state and federal auditors whenever we get audited. Our programs are shown as examples of efficiency and effectiveness in how to deal with public funding, so we're very proud of that. Generally, we have very, very high demand in all of our incentive programs. They're generally oversubscribed, which means they have more applications than we can actually provide funding for. It's a great place to be, and it really helps us to go out and compete for additional funding at the state level that we can really show that need here in the Valley. And that's because people have stepped up in the Valley, residents and businesses have stepped up to do their part. The 2018-19 incentive spending plan includes more than $350 million in local, state, and federal sources that go directly into clean air projects here in the Valley. This includes $80 million in what was known as AB 617 Early Action Incentive Funding. This was provided specifically to get early action, early emission reductions in AB 617 communities and throughout the district. A majority of this funding must have a direct benefit to low-income and disadvantaged communities. 80% of this funding, this $80 million, has that requirement. 80% of these funds has to be spent in low-income and disadvantaged communities throughout the district. Our funding is generally replacing older, high-polluting mobile equipment. We replace trucks. We replace tractors. We replace agricultural irrigation pumps. We generally will take an older diesel engine and replace it with either a new, cleaner diesel engine, electric motor, anything that gets those emission reductions that we need. The funding for the first year under AB 617 was put into two existing state programs, the Carl Moyer program, some of you may be familiar with, and the Proposition 1B program. Both of those are focused on getting diesel emission reductions through replacing old diesel-powered equipment. These projects have to achieve emission reductions beyond what's otherwise required by a rule or regulation. In our world, those are called surplus emission reductions. So we have to go above and beyond what's required in these rules. This is just the first year funding. The second year funding, which I'll talk about in just a second, provides additional opportunities to go beyond what we traditionally do. So these next couple of slides just illustrate some of the different project types that are currently available under our programs. Again, these programs are available right now. Any resident of the entire San Joaquin Valley can take advantage of these programs. Just a couple of examples of some of the community level programs that we operate right now are fireplace change out, so we can provide funding if you wanted to replace your open hearth or uncertified wood burning unit with a clean burning natural gas unit. We have programs that if you have a high polluting vehicle, you can take that vehicle to one of our weekend events. You may have heard of the Tune In, Tune Up program that's available throughout the district, and you can receive funding to get your car either repaired or replaced. If it won't pass smog and if it's a high polluter, we can provide those funds. Electric lawnmowers, if you want to turn in an old gas-powered lawnmower. We just recently opened a commercial lawn and garden program for those commercial lawn and garden operators here in the district. And then we provide rebates for those folks who want to buy new electric vehicles or some of those plug-in hybrid advanced technology vehicles. Some of the other programs that we operate, again, focus on diesel reduction. So a lot of diesel reductions come from trucks. So we fund the replacement of heavy-duty trucks, light and medium-duty trucks. Everything. These are just examples of some of the trucks that we've replaced over time. Off-road equipment, the top middle picture is of an agricultural irrigation pump. That's actually an electric motor that we replaced. It used to be a diesel engine. Now it's a clean-burning electric motor. forklifts, construction equipment, a lot of farm equipment. We've got an agricultural tractor program. We've got some innovative ways to get people out of their old equipment and into newer, cleaner equipment. And as you can imagine, the tractor program is hugely successful here in the Valley. And then school and transit buses. We've been very, very successful in replacing some of the oldest school buses in the district. And we have ongoing funding for that, and transit buses as well. The district is also going to be operating a portion of the statewide Volkswagen Mitigation Trust, which is going to provide $130 million for the replacement of old school buses and old transit and shuttle buses throughout the state. And then locomotives. Over the years, we've partnered with several large and small locomotive operators to replace line haul locomotives, passenger locomotives, switcher locomotives, again, all with cleaner technology. Either the latest and greatest diesel technology, hybrid technology, or even electric technology. So throughout this entire process, the public engagement is going to be critical. We're looking to this steering committee to provide recommendations on identifying specific projects within the community, specific areas of focus that you'd like us to look at for perhaps developing new programs, something that we don't cover now that you'd like to see covered in some of our local programs. As I mentioned earlier, the second year of funding, it's anticipated to be similar in scope to the first year. We got $80 million in the first year. We expect a similar amount in the second year. However, the second year funding provides a much broader scope. It's not focused on mobile sources. It's not just going into those two programs that I mentioned earlier that the first year funding is going into. So we have a lot more latitude in developing programs. We could be providing incentives for stationary sources. Those are things that we've really never done before outside of stationary ag pumps. So kind of the world is wide open to us with the second year funding, and that's really where we're going to be providing or looking to this committee for input on how to spend those second year funds. We're keyed in on this process. My group is ready to go. We're ready to listen and see how we can use our existing programs, how we can develop new programs to really provide additional benefits here in the city of Shafter. So I think that's it for me.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Shiraz, for giving kind of the backbone and the blueprint of what 617 is all about. So now comes the fun part, and in order to maximize your participation, what we're going to do is break you out into small groups. We're going to ask you to, at a minimum, identify 3 to 5 topics that your group feels is important to discuss moving forward on the committee and through 2019, okay? So a minimum of 3 to 5 topics. We're going to start developing what is known as a living list. Cynthia and Cody will be coming up and basically taking your results after you meet and putting them up, and then we'll not only list them, but then we'll also go through the exercise of prioritizing them. Okay, any questions? Pretty simple. So what I'd like to do is just count off, and Antonio, if you don't mind, if you could move to this group over here because of translation services, we'll group you with here, but let's just start out here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, please remember your numbers. 1, it's tough for you, Scott. 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, and then the translation services over here, Antonio. 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So if all the ones could collectively get together in the twos, excuse me, go ahead. So we'd like to break out in groups. We're going to give you 20 minutes. It's 10 till 7. We're going to stop at 10 after 7. And the other part of this is you're going to have to designate a spokesperson, okay? So please, again, 3 to 5 topics, that are important for your committee in terms of moving forward and designate a spokesperson, okay? So if ones can meet here, twos, threes, fours, and fives. And for the general public, this is also an opportunity for you folks to write your comments on a card. You can either give it to Cody and he can put it in the back, in the box, you can mail it, or you can make your comment at the end of tonight's session. Yeah, ones, twos, threes, the translations, and then fives. Yes, well, yeah, there's another reason for that. Yeah. Threes. That's fours, and fives are over here. Okay, committee members, let's wrap it up, and that's your 20 minutes. So we've all gone through, excuse me, guys. So we've all gone through our topics. We're going to start with group five, and they're going to basically, and we're going to work our way around the horseshoe in terms of the 3 to 5 topics. Again, this is a living list. There's nothing set in concrete, but it is a fundamental start of the issues and the topics moving forward for 2019. So we have Cynthia, who's basically going to record all of your topics or issues. And let's start out with your group. Who's your spokesperson? Michael, if you want to go ahead and just give us your thoughts, and Cynthia will write them down.
The first one that came up was...
Oh, I'm sorry. David.
Okay, the first topic that came up was examining emissions from dairies. The second topic that came up was there's a lot of warehouses going in around the community, so that means more diesel vehicles going to be around in and around and going through the community. And then the third and fourth one kind of come in together in the oil pumping and distribution facilities around here, making sure that those are electrified or if they're having any emissions. And then I guess they're not really together. The fourth one is... The fourth one was electrifying diesel equipment and vehicles. And then also getting the electricity to those remote locations or the ability to charge that and electrify that equipment.
Okay, that's your five. Great. Thanks, Michael. So group four, and Maria, you'll give us.
Pues no mucha la diferencia. Es los químicos de los pesticidas, de los files.
Are being applied in the field, such as pesticides.
El fracking.
Fracking.
La contaminación del agua y la tierra que hace.
It contaminates the earth and the water.
Las lecherías también.
And the dairies.
Del metano y el amoníaco. Y pues compañías como el Roof, que está aquí adelante.
In a company like the Roof.
Uh-huh.
Here, see up here in front.
Y pues todo lo demás.
That's it.
So, I'm sorry, the company on the roof, can you, what is that?
¿Cómo se llama la compañía?
Roofing, no sé.
Roofing and gas.
The factory just outside town is
in and the Lerdo 299.
Factory emissions.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Maria. Okay, group three, who's your spokesperson? Sal?
So we came up with five. One, landfill pollution from trash, from landfill equipment, and traffic to the landfill.
Just give us a minute, Sal.
All of ours have like multiple parts to them.
Okay, next issue.
Decrease neighborhood traffic pollution by increasing sidewalks, increasing street lighting, and bike paths to make pedestrian traffic more accessible, and then paving the streets as well to reduce the dust in neighborhood traffic, and decreasing idling in the neighborhood. See, I told you there's multiple parts to these.
Okay.
Expand the repair facilities for all this new electric equipment and increase the job skills training for this equipment.
Okay.
This is an easy one. Find equipment alternatives to almond harvesting. Finally, wood chipping on site instead of mass burns.
Great. Thank you, Sal. Instead of mass burns. Great. David?
Abigail.
Okay.
So I'm going to keep it short. There's only three topics.
Okay, just give us a second. There's a rhythm to this. Go ahead, Abigail.
So the first one is better understanding or better education about the long-term effects of these environmentally beneficial programs. The second one is how will the programs improve economic growth and social changes, positive social changes in this community? And the third one, kind of similar to what the previous group said, was how do we create infrastructure that implements road safety or, the environment. How will these programs improve economic growth and positive social changes in this community? And the last one is, how do we create infrastructures that implement road safety or pedestrian safety?
Is that good? Okay, thank you, Abigail. Who's your spokesperson? There you go.
Thank you.
Gustavo.
Cool, so for our first one, we talked about outreach and how the different eligible incentive programs the districts and the state really need to do a better outreach to get to the people that really need these programs, especially on the clean vehicles and rebate programs, to make sure that even in rural communities there's this outreach happening. Two is the air quality. So what baseline are we starting at? What's the background information at where we're going to start at? Are we starting low? Are we starting high? So what background information can we be told about this air quality here in Shafter? Two is a potential of agricultural dust, mold, spores, and secondary pollution during high peak seasons, and the effects on that. Number four is it was captured already, but capturing the landfill waste for renewable energy and capturing a lot of that kind of organic waste to be used in renewable energy, and kind of bleeds into the next one in how our transport system, mostly school buses, could be electrified or kind of plugged into natural gas. And also within that is kind of like the train pollution as well. Like, do we have information on that? Has that been considered? The amount of times the train goes back and forth, aside from 43, Highway 99, and Highway 5.
Great. Thank you, Gustavo.
Electrification of buses as well for the school systems.
School system. So while Cynthia is just finishing that up, the groups that have already gone, is there anything up there that just needs clarification from each one of your pods? If not, okay, thank you.
And the train. Aside from Highway 9, Highway 99-5, the train pollution that we have here in the Central Valley as well.
Okay, Scott, last group.
Okay, we came up with 3.5 here. The first one's a two-parter. One is verify and expand the community boundaries. We want to make sure that right at the front end that everybody's happy with the study area. And within that we have good representation between residents and industry. The second one was identify the sources of the pollution as early in the process as possible. We've came up with a lot of the same topics that the other groups did, but we weren't sure what percentage of the total problem those are. So where should we prioritize and go after the biggest pieces of the pie chart instead of little tiny ones? And then the third was similar to what we heard a couple of other times, was figure out in this process how do you encourage the behavior without taking away the economic viability of the area, make sure that the industry can be funded and incentivized to make these improvements without killing off a whole industry, and do it in a smart way.
Great. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Economic development in conjunction with keeping our air quality.
Well, yeah, and select incentives and regulation that encourages those businesses to be able to advance.
Okay, so this is the part of the program where we're going to ask the committee members to actually get up and get your blood flowing, since you've been sitting here for an hour and a half. Each of you should have gotten some Post-it notes. Okay, probably wondering, you know, what's the purpose of that? What we'd like the committee membership to do is to come over to this living list and put the Post-it on the topic that was written that you feel is important to be discussed at the next meeting.
One each.
Okay. So why don't we go ahead and start with group one. If you can take your Post-its, walk on over to the wall. Get a little exercise. Not writing anything, just put the Post-it on what you think is important for our next meeting to discuss.
Hey, Cynthia, can we go ahead and write some of the things down?
Hang on, Tom. I'm just going to go by groups. Linda, so you guys want to go ahead and go up?
baseline air quality information and sources of pollution.
Sal, your group, go ahead.
All right.
Is our group going?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you, committee members, for this exercise. And I just want to remind the public at large, you too have an opportunity to weigh in and to comment as well. So you can either write your comments and put them in the box in the back, or give a speaker's card to either Cody or Cynthia, and at the end of tonight's meeting, you can express your views. So again, this is work in progress. Okay. So thank you, committee members. We'll let you know towards the end of the evening what we basically have deciphered in terms of what the priority is or the topic that will be discussed at next meeting. But I want to give the floor over back to David, who's going to touch base briefly on our next agenda item and goal that we need to accomplish tonight, and that was the charter. Okay, David.
Thank you, Jimmy. So thank you. I think that was very interesting. We'll figure out what to do with that. It's kind of interesting. There were two things that I knew we had to do as a committee in very shortly in upcoming meetings. And we put them up on the board, and they happen to be the two things that have the most stickers on them. Community boundaries, talking about that, where the community boundaries are,
and some baseline information about what the sources of pollution are and other basic air quality information. So you can be sure those things will be on future agendas very quickly. One other thing that's going to have to be on a future agenda is finalizing the charter, this little compilation of rules. You should have received a copy of the kind of a starting point for talking about the charter for this committee. I'd like you to take a look at it, submit comments to us. It should have been in the packet of materials that you received. It says, this is it right here. It says a draft starting point for a community charter or something like that. We'd really like to you to take a look at that. There are a few key questions that will be, you have a presentation as well about this, and there's a few key questions on the last slide of that presentation that we really want you to think about. Number one thing that I think we should really think about is, do we want to have some document that says, here's how we expect committee members to behave? Do we have a document that says, you know, we expect everybody to act with dignity and respect to everyone? I think it's a good idea, but you know, what we did was we went and looked around the state and looked at other charters that people have put together for committees like this. We kind of picked out the best of the best and shamelessly plagiarized and copied. So take a look at it. And let us know what you think. What I'd like to do is very quickly at the next meeting say, okay, here's our charter. Everybody, let's here's how this community committee is going to operate. I got a question here, Michael. There is one on the back. No, it's over. We have two tables. Yeah, there's two little sections, Spanish language and English language back there. That's a good question, though. I will tell you that the district has committed to Spanish language translation, and I think it was a question, not necessarily a request, but I don't know. Does anybody need one? A Spanish language charter? All right. So we have, I think they just traded here. So we've committed to doing Spanish language translation and interpretation, and other languages. We will find a way to do it as well if we find a need. So anyway, take a look at this charter information that you have. Let us know what you think about it. Jamie, do we have anywhere the email address we expect these comments to come in on, or phone call? Yeah, that'd be great. Let's see, what else? Another question that I think would be really good to answer is, do we want to have people sign a participation agreement? And maybe that's the way we all agree to follow certain rules of behavior. The rest of the charter is really all about what we expect to come out of the charter, and what time frames and how we'll get there. Oh, that's very cute. Do you see the what's being projected? I knew you'd like to see that. I saw people looking over my shoulder and kind of smiling. I had to. Are there any questions, other questions about the charter, what we expect to get out? Yes. I think as soon as possible, we will be sending out an announcement about the next committee meeting soon. And at that point, I think we can probably do a better job of saying, you know, maybe a week before that, get your comments in. So. Oh, good. Two for one. Any other questions? All right.
Great. Thank you, David.
The question was, do we have future meeting dates calendared? And we do not. If that would be super helpful, one of the things the charter discussion was supposed to do is decide how frequently that we were going to meet. The charter suggests once a month. If that's okay, we can go ahead and put, you know, as a starting point anyway, we can put together a calendar. That would be helpful to us as well, and that way we can all get them on our calendar. We'll start at once a month, and then, you know, we can make changes if we need to. Sound good? Sound good to everybody? Awesome.
Great. Thank you, David. Anything? Any other questions from committee members, public at large? So I just want to take this opportunity. It's 7:35, and we're really going to move to the agenda of public comment. But I think it's on behalf of the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District to thank the committee members for giving your valuable time tonight. We realize it's right before the holidays. It's cold and a little damp out there, but it just shows your commitment to bettering, you know, the community, your community, and Kern County as a whole. We did not get any speaker cards back, but, you know, if there's anyone in the public that would like to make a comment, or you have 2 minutes, either with regards to the issues or any other topic that you feel is relevant to tonight's proceedings. Is there anyone that would like to give their input? Yes, sir. Your name?
My name is Evan Kiff, and I work in air quality in California for years. And one of my questions was,
Evan, can you just hold on? Cody's going to give you the mic.
My name is Evan Shipp, and I've worked as a consultant and in government in the San Joaquin Valley in air quality for a number of years. And one of my questions was, it looked like you're going to do this monitoring for a few months, maybe 9 months, and then you're going to do the mitigation. And, you know, the Valley has a kind of an annual cycle of coarse particulate and fine particulate and ozone and like four seasons worth of pollution. And so I think you really need to monitor for a year. And so that's my comment.
Okay, thank you, Evan.
Before you start doing the mitigation part.
Yeah, thank you, Evan. Let me clarify that a little bit.
Comment box if you want to just.
First of all, there are a lot of things that we know we can do today to reduce emissions. So we don't need to wait for the monitoring results to actually get going on what we can do to reduce emissions. We do not expect a lot of really solid information in the first couple of months of monitoring. The monitoring will be many months. Evan's quite right. We have cycles during the year. Wintertime we have a particulate problem. Summertime we have an ozone problem. And it's important for monitoring to cover both of those seasons. We also will be monitoring specific areas, and depending on what's found or isn't found, that might have some bearing on whether the monitor stays there for any length of time. However, over time, we expect those monitors to feed into future emission reduction projects. So we don't believe that the air quality monitoring program is the only way to figure out what we can do to reduce emissions. Hopefully this committee will still be in place at a point where we do have some monitoring information that can feed the
the process a little bit to decide what kinds of emissions reductions we can get based on what the monitoring is showing us. It was a really good question, Evan.
Great. Thank you, David. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Tom, what did you?
Exchange for the money that they receive, something like reducing the pesticides they use if they receive a tractor, or creating a buffer zone next to schools if they decide to take some money. Because if it becomes solely giving money out to businesses, that's not going to help people in low-income communities, and the money is not going to stay within the community. It's going to go to processes that help people with money make more money, not people with no money, you know, stay safe and healthy and protect the money that they have and not waste it on healthcare. So I just want to make sure that this is focused on the community and it's not diverted into something that's going to become solely incentives without accountability.
Yeah, I'll hold this down here. One of the things that we will be talking about as we move through this process, it's not all about incentives. It is all about the community, though. And so I appreciate that comment. Some of the comments, some of the things we wrote down on our lists can apply throughout the San Joaquin Valley. But these are really what's going on in Shafter, what can we do in Shafter and the surrounding environs to actually reduce emissions. So I really appreciate those comments. The one other thing I wanted to add is it's not all about incentives. There are, we expect this committee to talk about many other things. Are there measures that that can be adopted that would reduce emissions further than the district has already done? Are there things that we would like the cities and counties to do to help reduce air pollution moving into the future? This body is not, this committee cannot adopt rules, but we want to work together to advise both the district and putting together this community emission reduction program moving into the future, and other agencies that can do things about, maybe pesticides or trucks on roads, things that as you'll learn in future meetings, air districts may not have the regulatory authority to do anything about, but we can work with the agencies that do have the regulatory authority. So thank you. Very good comments. Tom?
So, Dave, you just mentioned potential new regulations coming out of this process. Do you anticipate any new regulations that would be specific to the Shafter area? And do you anticipate enforcement being stepped up around the Shafter area, including things like maximizing fines for violations of current rules?
So quite a lot of things to answer there. I think, first of all, what I anticipate is learning a lot more about the community from the committee, and then taking that input and deciding what the most important things are to the committee. We're not, as an air district, trying to presuppose what's important to the committee and decide what to do in advance of working with the committee towards goals that we come up with together. Maybe that answers all of your questions.
I'm not saying no to anything.
Yeah, absolutely not. I think
Samir mentioned it to begin with. City of Shafter is in an enviable place to kind of set an example for other communities that will come along later. Whether that means there's individual, measures to reduce pollution that get adopted just in Shafter, that'd be very, that's something we'll just have to talk about.
I had a question on the, so this part of this committee's kind of vision is to, once we understand a little bit of the data, is to create emission reduction plans. And moving forward, what are the recommendations on once this body here puts something together, a document together, what is the process of, how will it pass? Is it going to be voting? Is it going to be majority census? Is it going to be, how is that functionality going to move forward?
The end goal is to advise the Air District as the Air District puts together a community emission reduction program. You'll see in the charter as you go through that what we're hoping to do is use a consensus building process to get to that point. Hopefully there will be topics such as, incentives for electric school buses that everybody's going to agree that, hey, that's a great way to reduce pollution and protect the health of our children that ride those buses. Other things we might not find consensus throughout the group. The district's role moving forward in situations where there's not a consensus position is to decide what works and how we can address the concern in ways that are doable and implementable from a number of perspectives, legally, jurisdictionally, all kinds of things can come into the picture when we're trying to decide how to put together a community emission reduction program that can actually be implemented and get those reductions. Not everybody's going to be thrilled from multiple perspectives on this committee. Not everybody's going to be thrilled with what comes out of that program. But our goal, and my personal desire is to have consensus as much as possible on these issues as we move forward.
Just to piggyback on what the gentleman over here said a second ago, I would think that most or everything that we do should benefit the families of Shafter. There's a regulatory process here, but the goal is for Shafter to be a better place as a result of it. And I think it would, at least from my perspective, the better we understand how all of the pieces fit, and the better that we can consider how families do better through this process, we'll be successful. So, at least from my perspective, I don't have any real preconceived notions about that. Other than that, hopefully, the committee's focus will be really on the fathers and mothers and grandparents and children in the community.
Well said.
My name is Caroline Farrell, and I'm with the Center on Race, Poverty, and the Environment. I had a question or a comment about the, or a suggestion for the charter, particularly around, Dave, the consensus process that you outlined, where if there's not consensus, then the Air District is going to try and sort of suss out what the practical solution is and have that discretion. I think if that's the case, it might be important for the steering committee members to have some type of disclosure process around their affiliations in order to give way to allow for transparency and accountability and help the Air District weigh what possible options are in front. And also, I think for a lot of the public processes at the Air District, and I know ARB has had There is some type of disclosure requirement just to add for transparency and accountability. So I would make that suggestion to maybe the consensus portion of the charter that you were talking about.
I appreciate that. One of the things that I don't think I quite got across as I was talking about the consensus consensus building process is that no matter whether we get to consensus or not, the district is committed to making sure that the various perspectives that were expressed, whether they, whatever spectrum they come from, get captured in that community emission reduction program at the end of the day. And where perspectives were not fully, captured or not fully implemented in the program, we want to have reasons for that. We want to explain why. As far as affiliation disclosure, it's my personal experience is that that'll become obvious as community members and committee members get to know each other. But we can talk about that when we talk about the charter. If you guys, if the committee feels that there's a sound basis and, you're really excited about having, everybody make sure they fill out a, affiliation disclosure form or something, you let me know. Let us know. We'll have the charter on the next meeting's agenda.
Yes, ma'am.
That's a good question. We had that question in Fresno, too. There is a committee roster on our website. We can share that with everyone. The contact information, I'm a little bit more hesitant to, just for reasons of, privacy and confidentiality. I'm not comfortable sharing. We're not comfortable sharing that information.
Okay, well, thank you, David. We had one additional comment that was submitted to the box, and it's from Anna Rivera, and her question is the committee open to having more members?
There might be, as we talk about the community boundaries at a near, probably in the next meeting, there may be, if the community boundaries expand, I think we would want to also provide an opportunity for people in those communities to apply. So to that extent, yes, but I think that's the limit that I can think of right now. I mean, the committee is very large. If you want to be on the committee, find somebody that you know on the committee or would feel like you can communicate with and share your concerns and wishes with them. That would be my advice. But if you're in the outlying areas and you want to come in and argue that, or tell us that you feel like, Smith Corner should be a part of the community, we actually have... when we had our initial meeting about the Shafter Community Steering Committee, we heard people mention that there were some outlying areas, Smith Corners, Mexican Colony, that would be a good fit for the discussion. And as a result of that, we had two people apply from Mexican Colony, and we did accept their applications. When we talk about the community boundary, that's going to be a part of that discussion. So, long-winded question to a really easy, or long-winded answer to a really easy question.
Okay, so I want to thank everyone again for participating tonight, especially the committee and the community at large. Just one last housekeeping issue. If you did not sign in, please, please, as you depart, sign in. The district would like to know who is in attendance. It helps them get, you know, put yourselves in contact with the district. We'll be in touch in the near future about the next meeting. And again, thank you. There's district staff that'll be here for a little bit if you want some FaceTime. But again, thank you very much, and good night, and happy holidays.